This is Hoosier Ag This Week. Welcome and thank you for listening. I'm Andy Eubank, and I'll be joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin for the week's top Indiana and U.S. Ag news stories, the Indiana Farm Forecast, and a wrap-up of the week in the markets, including Friday's World Supply and Demand Estimates Update. In the news, a look at USDA's National Farm Security Plan and reaction to that, and new world screwworm developments from NCBA, the nation's cattlemen. We have a crop update from North Central Indiana and feature stories on Indiana's Weaver Popcorn, the Agribility Program, Kienert Milk House, and the upcoming Winnemac Power Show. We welcome in C.J. Miller to start today. Farm security is national security. That was the message from U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins and several cabinet members on Tuesday as they announced USDA's new National Farm Security Action Plan. C.J. Miller has that story.
American agriculture is not just about feeding our families, but about protecting our nation and standing up to foreign adversaries who are buying our farmland, stealing our research, and creating dangerous vulnerabilities in the very systems that sustain us.
Secretary Rollins, as she unveiled a seven-point plan to protect America's farmland, ag industry, and food supply from foreign threats.
Perhaps the most important, the first of the seven, is securing and protecting American farmland ownership. Actively engaging at every level of government to take swift legislative and executive action to ban the purchase of American farmland by Chinese nationals and other foreign adversaries.
She says the plan no longer allows for sweetheart deals or secret pacts with hostile nations.
Also enhancing our agricultural supply chain resilience, also protecting our U.S. nutrition safety net from fraud and foreign exploitation. Number four, defending agricultural research and innovation. Number five, making sure that America First is in every USDA program from farm loans to food safety.
Rollins adds that the plan will crack down on bio threats before they reach U.S. soil.
Number six, safeguarding plant and animal health, working to make sure that we know what is coming in and how to control animal diseases. And number seven, protecting critical infrastructure from our farms and our food and our supply chains, again, along with so many partners across this government here in Washington and across our states.
Read the full National Farm Security Action Plan at HoosierAgToday.com.
C.J. Miller on that report. Much more from C.J. yet to come on Hoosier Ag this week. For now, though, more on that USDA National Farm Security Action Plan. It's designed to elevate American agriculture as a key element of the nation's national security by addressing urgent threats from foreign adversaries and strengthening the resilience of our nation's food and agricultural systems. U.S. cattle producers have expressed their appreciation for Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins' plan to keep farms and food secure across the U.S. Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says cattle producers face threats that many off the farm may not be aware of.
We continue to have threats every single day from foreign animal diseases and pests that could devastate us as cattle producers. And not only devastate us and our livelihoods, but devastate our ability to put a high-quality protein on the table for America's families.
Having a plan in place gives cattle producers confidence in the future of beef production.
So to be able to have a commitment from the entire Trump administration to work on ways to further protect us and better protect us will give us that confidence that we can continue doing what we're doing on the ground every single day, and that's taking care of our natural resources and producing a high-quality protein that is loved here domestically and around the world.
Rollins has also announced this week USDA is again closing southern ports of entry to shipments of cattle due to the detection of New World screwworm in Veracruz, Mexico. This discovery in northern Veracruz indicates that screwworm has traveled 160 miles northward of the location where sterile flies are currently being dropped. That detection in Veracruz is approximately 370 miles south of the U.S.-Mexico border. NCBA's Woodall says the New World screwworm's northward movement jeopardizes the safety of American agriculture, which is why Secretary Rollins paused cattle movement again until the screwworm can be pushed further from the southern border. Earlier this year, USDA announced that Moore Air Base would be the site of a new sterile fly dispersal facility in South Texas. NCBA is now urging USDA to expedite the development of a sterile fly production facility as well to ensure that we can produce enough flies to safeguard the American cattle industry. More on the story at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. Now on to the markets, and it was another down day for corn, soybeans, and wheat. We'll have the settlements coming up. But start with market analysis, which I grabbed in the middle of the session Friday from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Markets were close to even on Friday before the USDA WASDE update and then moved a little lower after that report. It's nothing new to see liquidation in the marketplace, but we saw it yet again on Friday, Brian, after the report. What was in there that maybe helped push the markets further down?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I think we're just looking at a report that was generally in line with expectations for ending stocks, production, and so forth. And with that in mind, we turn back to trading weather. And the weather sure looks like it's going to be much cooler moving into the middle of July for most of the Midwest here. And we're looking at some rainfall moving in too. So the bottom line would be that not looking to much weather threat, as it were, moving into that critical period of corn pollination. Still got a ways to go on beans, of course, as your listeners know, but we're looking at some favorable conditions, crop condition wise, as we move into this second week in July. And the market just really couldn't find anything to hang its hat on, as it were, with this report on Friday.
So you're saying we quickly moved past the report and onto weather, which of course has been very good, or promising at the very least.
I think that's the best way to summarize it. As you know, things can change. We could come in here Sunday night or Monday morning with a different forecast for the middle of July. And we're not saying that this crop is made by any means, but the market is certainly looking at the consensus at the moment for a generally benign weather forecast. And as we move into corn silking pollination here, the next 2 weeks, pretty heavy. I think we're looking at the possibility of adding another 30 to 40% of the corn silking here over the next two and a half weeks. If that weather forecast plays out, then you're going to be looking at the potential for a very good corn crop. And generally speaking, there wasn't anything in the world numbers I'd add to in the report there on Friday that was very supportive in terms of a change to a bullish stance. We knew from the acreage report at the end of June there that the USDA lowered its forecast of harvested acreage for 2025 on corn. That's just a known number. That one number will be incorporated now, at least for another month or two, perhaps waiting some FSA data on actual acreage.
Market analysis from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Final numbers at the end of trade. September corn had gone down 3 1/4 Friday, 396. December 4.12 1/4 down 4 1/4. March 4 3/4 lower, going to 429. August beans dipped to 10.04 1/4, 8 1/4 down. November 10.07 1/4, 6.5 down. September wheat led lower, 9.5 cents off at 545. Meats mixed. August live cattle 222.20, a gain of $2.97, and August lean hogs 104.67, down $1.55. There's the market update. More still to come. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
This is a little harder to see, but in general, the huge amount of capital that's been invested into the agricultural system over decades has been really effective. We have the most efficient agricultural system. We can yield greater volumes. We can convert those volumes into ingredients more efficiently than ever. We can convert ingredients into food more efficiently than ever. But what that capital has been focused on is, again, that efficiency and less about differentiation. And I think what's happened is in some crops and some ingredients is there remains deficiencies, opportunities to be addressed.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
A frontal boundary pushes through the Hoosier State as we get started this weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. And we're going to be dealing with a little bit on again of golf again moisture through your Saturday. That's for sure. Frontal boundary coming in from the west and northwest. Not everybody sees action right away, but I think through the day today, we end up with 90% coverage of rains totaling anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch. I am not necessarily too concerned about strong thunderstorms. It's just going to take a little bit for this front to get through. Once we get past midnight, clouds are going to start to break up. And your Sunday looks very nice over about 85% of the state. We likely do see some lingering showers down along the Ohio River in southern Indiana. So if you're in the far southern reaches of the state, more clouds for tomorrow and a chance of moisture while everybody else dries down. Temperatures are pulling back a little bit behind this front. We're going to be rather pleasant on temperatures as we go through the day tomorrow, even though clouds are going to be slow to leave in some spots. Monday, Tuesday this coming week look pretty doggone nice. Beautiful sunshine, low humidity to start Monday, humidity creeping up a little bit Tuesday, but we are seeing full sunshine for both days to start the week. Now, from midweek forward, we're going to be seeing two things. Well, first of all, we're going to see humidity values increase, and so there's a little bit more instability on Wednesday. But we're also seeing a minor trough boundary, minor front trying to try and sag through from the northwest. All it really does is increase potential for some thunderstorm activity, so showers and storms around from Wednesday mid-afternoon right on through at Thursday. I think by the time we get to sunrise Friday morning, most of the activity is east and south of us. In that 2.5 day stretch, so Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, well, I guess it's a day and a half into early Friday, we're probably looking at a quarter to 1 inch of precipitation. To get to the upper end of the range, it's going to take some thunderstorms, but again, there are some storms around in this pattern. So that's going to be issue number one. Issue number two, a strong wind develops on the backside. This is a major air mass change that we see coming through toward the end of next week. Rains are one thing. We need that. But secondly, we see temperatures fall off and the winds ramp up for Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th. Should be a pleasant weekend with regard to temperatures, but could be some very breezy conditions out there, especially right away. Going into the following week, the week of the 21st, we start off a little bit damp with a few showers Sunday night into early Monday morning, and then we see on again, off again moisture the rest of the week. So Tuesday into Wednesday, we can see some scattered showers and storms. Later on in the week, Thursday, Friday, there's definitely going to be some on again, off again moisture for that final full week of July, but we're also not seeing things run away to the upside on temperatures. No massive heat waves as we move through late July either. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She works two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed. In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. Hoosier Ag Today and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting invite you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and if you drive along the county roads and farm fields across many parts of Indiana, you'll notice that the corn and soybean crops, for the most parts, are looking really good. Andy Eubank joins us once again with an update.
There has been an uneven and variable start to corn and soybean crops in north central Indiana this year. In a Channel Seed growing season update, field sales representative Daniel Stauffer says recent weather in his territory has caused a positive shift in the outlook.
The great weather, heat, and sunshine that we finally started getting helped this corn even up quite a bit here recently. And so I would say corn is really coming on strong. Roots are getting to the fertilizer more and more. And just that heat and sunshine typically fixes a lot of issues.
Soybeans are also rebounding from some spring and early summer struggles.
Obviously had the water issues, having a lot of yellowing and spots in the fields, preventing some oxygen from being down in those roots and in the soil profile. But now that we've got to the summer solstice, June 21st, beans have really started to take off and seeing a lot of growth on that front and with flowering starting.
Not surprisingly, with the conducive conditions for tar spot earlier this season, that disease has been confirmed in the state, and Stauffer says scout fields whenever you can.
Watching for that as Purdue's confirmed that many places across northern Indiana. And so taking into account fungicide applications, Delaro, Delaro Complete are a couple that I'd suggest on the corn just to protect as many bushels as we can out there, keep that plant as healthy as possible.
Statewide, 63% of Indiana corn is rated good to excellent, and 62% of soybeans are in that category, below the national averages. Hear more from Daniel Stauffer in the Full Hat and Channel Seed Growing Season Update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
Well, Weaver Popcorn, which is based in Indiana, has been in business for nearly 100 years. It's the largest bulk popcorn producer in the world, selling under its Pop Weaver brand, as well as co-packing 6 distinct varieties of kernels to serve businesses in more than 90 different countries.
We really want to stay focused on popcorn long-term and do it better than anybody else.
And that's Jason Cashman, CEO of Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing. Part of the focus, he says, is navigating the recent downturn of the ag economy.
We came off of 2021, early into 22, of some really steep cost inflation on the input side. As a result of that, prices got really high. I think consumers tolerated that for a couple of years. We started to see some easing finally in 23 and 24 of costs that allowed us to take some pricing down, but it seems like it's ramping back up.
He says the uncertainty over President Trump's tariff strategy is also having an impact on the company.
There's just some slowness, at least across the snack food sector, as all prices are going up and we have some uncertainty around tariff situations and manufacturers trying to adjust for that to keep costs down. I think there's some tightening of the belt and some rationalization of spending in food. And as a result, I think most of our industry peers would say that it's a little more sluggish than we thought it'd be this time of year.
But Cashman says that microwave popcorn did see a huge spike in sales during the pandemic.
When everyone was at home, spending a lot more time at home and eating at home, it reintroduced consumers to the microwave popcorn product, which there was a lot of innovation and quality improvements in microwave popcorn, probably 10 years before that. And so during that time when people were naturally consuming more at home, they were reintroduced to it. So that did drive some growth in the microwave industry that's been sustained. You also had the lull in concession-related products. Movie theaters weren't open. Ball games weren't happening with the same number of spectators. That has really bounced back strongly.
You can hear more from Cashman in the Ag Bioscience podcast. It's part of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast network in the free Hat mobile app and at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, farming has one of the highest disabling rates of any industry. That's why there's a program called AgriBility that works with farmers who have become disabled to help get them back to work.
This thing actually has grown way beyond what I've and most of Purdue people would ever expect.
And that's Dr. Bill Field with Purdue University. He shared how the program first started back in 1979.
Bill Gundrum was a farmer from the Walton area who had a pickup truck accident, and it left him as a quadriplegic. He had limited use of his hands. And there was a question raised about how could I get back on my tractor? And I was open at that point. I had a sensitivity to it because I grew up working for a dairy farmer who had polio and had limited mobility and used all kinds of adaptations, including using me as a kid to ride with him to open and close gates.
And that's when Dr. Field and his team used some creativity and then went to work.
So we took a school bus lift off of a wrecked school bus and mounted it in between the wheels on this four-wheel drive tractor. And I still remember when we mounted it on his tractor up there in Walton, and he was able to get back onto the tractor and pull himself up into the seat. And I went with him for the first drive across the field. And I always remember watching him, and I could just see him sitting up in a seat. And that really was a spark for me, quite frankly. I felt God was telling me to do something in this arena.
That moment in Cass County, Indiana, led to the establishment of the Breaking New Ground Resource Center at Purdue. In 1990, the National AgriBility Program was set up thanks to federal funding from the Farm Bill. Today, nearly 14,000 farmers across the U.S. have been helped by the program. You can check out more of my conversation with Dr. Field and read more about the National AgriBility Program at HoosierAgToday.com. We're now less than 3 weeks away from the start of the Indiana State Fair, running August 1st through 17th, and Hoosier Ag Today is your home for coverage of the fair, including the 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on X and LinkedIn. You can also bookmark our website, HoosierAgToday.com, as we give you updates throughout the Indiana State Fair. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and you're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
The Hoppert Institute for Agricultural Studies at Huntington University is proud to support the NETCAP Annual Conference on August 6th at New Hope Christian Church in Whitestown, hosted by AgriStewards. NETCAP is the network of Christian agricultural professionals, and they invite farmers and those in agribusiness and ag industry to come and learn about ministry opportunities and spreading the gospel through increased food production. There will be multiple learning sessions along with a time to interact and network with other ag professionals. Additionally, Huntington University faculty and staff will be present so you can learn more about their recently launched master's degree and certificate in international agriculture. For information and to register, visit agristewards.org/events. That's agristewards.org/events. For the NETCAP Annual Conference, August 6th at New Hope Christian Church, Whitestown.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today as we start off this segment of the show in Fort Wayne. If you live in the Summit City or you plan to visit soon, you'll definitely want to make a stop at the Kienert Milk House.
We start about 5 o'clock in the morning milking cows every morning.
And that's Andrew Kienert, a fifth-generation Indiana dairy farmer and manager of the new Kienert Milk House, which is right off of US 33 on Cook Road in Fort Wayne.
We'll be able to take our milk from our cows that we make and be able to run that milk over to our processing facility has always been a dream of all of ours.
And that dream became a reality in February last year when the milk house opened its doors to the public.
The feel, the people that come in and tell us that, hey, my kids love drinking milk now because you guys make milk.
You can buy fresh milk, butter, and cheese curds. Plus, the folks at the Utter Up Cafe will whip up something to satisfy your sweet tooth. Their milkshakes and ice cream are all made from their 300 cows on their nearby farm.
We make milk from our happy cows, and then we take that and we put it in the glass bottles, and we put it in different flavors, and then it's directly from us to the person that buys the milk.
Andrew says they have 9 different milk flavors to choose from, including banana, cotton candy, and orange cream. He says even more flavors are on the way.
Here this summer, I'm really trying to get a blueberry milk coming out, so we're in the development of that, and then hopefully as years go, we keep bringing out some new flavors.
Read more about the new Kienert Milk House in Fort Wayne at HoosierAgToday.com. Another business which is based in Fort Wayne is BW Fusion, and they're looking to drive biological innovation at every stage of the crop nutrition cycle. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
I like to think of biologicals as probiotics for the soil. Most people are familiar with probiotics for our bodies and our gut and our nutrition. It's the same thing for the soil. We need to nourish the soil, which can then in turn nourish the plant.
That's Dr. Tanya Soule, Vice President of Microbiology at BW Fusion, based in Fort Wayne. She's the guest on the latest episode of the Ag Bioscience Podcast from Agrinovis, Indiana. I was fortunate enough to guest host. Soule says biologicals create an environment in the soil that changes and improves the physical and chemical properties.
So we're nourishing the native microbial environment by giving them other microorganisms that can enhance the soil environment. And it's really more of a long-term effect, although we do see some pretty quick results even so. is that the soil environment has now become amended and more healthy to sustain a plant.
Soul adds that farmers are at the heart of what they do at BW Fusion, and they're very involved in the innovation process.
Many of our employees are farmers. The early days, we were able to establish relationships with farmers by really working and as a partnership with them. And it's two-way again, right? So we have such close relationships with so many farmers in different geographies and different challenges that we could get that feedback through our relationships in our employees and our dealer network. And those trickle into the laboratory, into the agronomy team, into the laboratory, into the science and the innovation side. And then we're able to really think about how we can help.
Hear more from Soul in the Ag Bioscience podcast. It's part of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast network in the free HAT mobile app and at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And we wrap up this week's show in Pulaski County, which is the site of a big event coming up next weekend.
It's fun to show your equipment, and it's fun to reminisce and look and say, oh my gosh, how did we ever do it back then? When we have to have all this huge equipment to do it today.
And that's Paul Gilsinger from Winnemac talking about the 48th Annual Antique Power Show presented by Northern Indiana Power from the Past. It's coming up July 17th through 20th at the Pulaski County Fairgrounds in Winnemac.
If you like old equipment and you like reminiscing about the old days and how we used to do it, it's a wonderful show to attend.
At the show, you'll see a lot of families that still own the same antique tractors that once belonged to their dads, grandpas, even their great-grandpas. Paul says his family's connection with John Deere goes back more than 125 years. That's when his grandfather owned a general store in the small town of Pulaski.
My grandfather was J.P. Gilsinger, and he and his partner, John Shank, carried in their general store the John Deere plow.
Because the John Deere plows and later the John Deere tractors were a huge hit, his grandfather's business later evolved into Gilsinger Implement. Paul says you'll see a couple of those antique John Deere tractors that once belonged to his grandfather at the Winnemac Power Show.
I have a little John Deere 40. That's a 1954. I may take the John Deere H that we have too.
For more information, visit WinnemacPowerShow.com. You can also find that link at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download the podcast version. That's also at HoosierAgToday.com. Also, make sure to download the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. It's a free download for iPhone and Android. From our award-winning team of Andy Eubank, Eric Pfeiffer, and our chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.